Mr. Atkind, Reel 3. Mr. Atkind, you just arrived in Lodge after walking throughout most of the night.
Yes.
Can you continue from there?
Okay. We arrived in our block of flats, and the caretaker and his son, who was over 20, they were gone. They also went to Warsaw, but the woman, the caretaker's wife, was there, and we found out that most of the men from all the buildings have gone in the direction of Warsaw, and only women and children were left in town.
Was your maid still with you?
No. I forgot to mention it before. She left about 2 or 3 days earlier, and she said she was going back to the village from where she came. And another thing I forgot to mention before, that one day after the outbreak of the war, we, and together with our neighbors in the few bungalows, began to dig a big trench so that we could go into it in case of bombs falling close by. And we dug something maybe 2 meters deep, and quite a long trench, but anyway, no one ever, it wasn't necessary, no one ever used it for any purpose. After 2 days, first of all, we found some food in the flat, some old bread and so on, and we managed to buy some food. And we found out that, well, not everyone has left Lodge. There were many people still there, and some of the shops, you could go from the back and you could buy some food. But there were no, the Polish army was gone, and you didn't see the Germans yet. And few buildings were destroyed, but not many, from the few bombs that were dropped or from some other bombardments. 2 days later, what happened then? Now let me go a little bit back. The day, we knew that any day the German army would occupy Lodz. What we heard then, that just before the army was entering Lodz, they sent one German soldier on a horse, on his own, to find out whether any of the Polish army was still left. And one of the Polish soldiers hit himself with his motorbike in a trench. He waited for that first German. He shot him and drove away. And the Germans, I don't know if they had the proper radio communication the way you have now. And the Germans, seeing that the first soldier didn't come back to report to them, started sort of bombarding Lodz from one end for a few hours, and that might have delayed the arrival of the Germans by a day or so.
What did people do during this day? How did that help?
Nothing. It was just waiting in fear. And anticipation.
Did most people stay indoors?
Yes, there was little traffic in the streets. Most people just listened to the radio.
How was your mother reacting in these circumstances?
Well, it is difficult to, you know, the main thing was food, and obviously she was anxious about my older brother, who also came back from holidays from Zakopane and also went in the direction of Warsaw. But whether it was a day after the Germans arrived or a day before, my father came back. He didn't get to Warsaw because halfway through he realized that it was more dangerous to going to in the direction of Warsaw than coming back, and so did my brother. And many men began to appear. They were coming back and telling some terrible stories of what happened. Such I can tell you one or two stories. For example, the Germans captured few hundred civilians in the middle of a field. And some of the Germans, they were civilians, there were no soldiers amongst the men and women that they captured. Mainly men, because mainly men were marching in the direction of Warsaw, or walking. And some of the Germans were on horses, some were on motorbikes, and some on foot. And they were not quite certain yet as what to do with the civilians. Probably they were waiting orders whether to let them go back or whatever. And one of the young Polish boys, who was a boy scout, he couldn't speak German, and he made sort of signs to the German that he wanted to go behind a tree to relieve himself. And as the German took him round, and as the German turned round, he took a knife and stabbed the German in the back and killed the German, or injured him badly. The Germans on the horses noticed it immediately, bayoneted him, cut off his head, and carried the head round, something that you read in what happened in medieval times.
Your father saw this happen?
Not my father, some neighbor saw it.
Did this frighten you?
Of course, this is one of the stories. This went on. Then the Germans arrived in force. They were everywhere, on every main street. There were panzers driving through. You've never seen so much traffic, so heavy machinery passing through. That was very frightening. Then rumors spread. All Jewish men will be castrated. At that time, the radio, instead of listening to the Polish radio, we began to listen to the German radio, which was sometimes in Polish and sometimes in German. And I remember that was 2 or 3 days afterwards. And they might have been recording a speech by Hitler, probably an earlier one. I don't think it came live. And my mother was listening, and I didn't understand German then. But there was one sentence that he said, "The Juden müssen von Europa verschwinden." And I asked my mother, what is it? Because immediately after that, "Sieg Heil, Sieg Heil." I don't know if you've ever heard Hitler's speeches. And she explained to me, it means the Jews must disappear from Europe. And that was, I realized, we have been sentenced to death. That was a very sort of frightening moment. Now, food became a problem because the bakery shops, there were long queues. And although you could still buy the food for the money, with your money, You had to queue for hours.
Who would do the queuing? Would your mother go out?
I did sometimes. And then the Germans started catching the Jews for work. The excuse was just catching for work. And sometimes they caught my father, they caught my older brother. I was safe, and I was never caught then. Because although I was 14, I looked only 12. And therefore I managed to get away with it. People who were caught were usually beaten up and sometimes didn't come back at all. And they were disappearing quite a lot. People just were taken away for work and shot and disappeared.
What happened when your father was taken away? And
when my father was taken, they came to our apartment. We were on the second floor in the block of flats. And they took my father and they took my older brother. And they came back after 12 hours. They were not beaten. My father could speak German. Maybe that helped him a little bit. But he was lucky. Because I've seen some young men, my mother gave a meal to one young man whom we knew, he was about 30, 35, strong man, and he showed his back, he was very badly beaten.
Whipped.
And
did your father tell you what he'd had to do during the 12 hours?
No, he didn't tell me what he had to do. Then various notices appeared. For example, Jews were not allowed to walk on the main street, Piotrkowska Street, which is like Oxford Street in London. They were not allowed because this street was named the Adolf Hitler Strasse. They were not allowed to go into parks. They were not allowed to go into swimming pools. They were not allowed to go into cinemas or theaters. All the money in the bank was frozen. The Jewish, any assets, all the property belonging to Jews were automatically confiscated. And so on and so on. Then the Jews, I don't know if it applied to everybody, maybe to the Poles, I'm not sure. But I know that we had to give our radio to the police station. And queues, long queues formed outside the police station with people holding the radio.
How did it affect your family, having assets frozen and property confiscated?
Well, we had some money. At that time, we were not short of food. I don't remember sort of being hungry at that time yet. You could still go out and buy something. But it was dangerous to go out, because you didn't know if you would come back. It was safer for me to go back. Then another thing happened, that the Jews had to put on a white band with a blue Star of David on it to show that they were Jews.
Where did you get the armbands from?
You bought it from... Somebody must have started making them. And some Jewish people, and you bought them at the street corners.
How did you react to all these measures? Were you angry or scared? Or did Jewish people?
Scared, angry, confused.
Did people think of forming together in any way to retaliate, or was that?
It was completely no. Not as far as I'm aware of. No. It came with such a strong force. And every notice, all the notices that came in the streets, ended the any non-compliance with this order will be very severely punished. And it meant hanging, death sentence. There was no other, they didn't put you to prison, it wasn't a court case. If you were found that you kept your radio, you were shot or hanged. If you didn't come out with your band and they caught you, death sentence. There was no other penalty but a death sentence for the slightest deviation from the order. In addition to that, people in the squares, people were being hanged for nothing, just to terrorize the population. There was a curfew.
Did you witness any of these hangings?
No. You see, I am quite squeamish. There were many people. I found it very strange at that time that people would go knowing that there are corpses hanging in a square. And I would not go, I would avoid it. I knew that in such and such square. And yet I looked at people who were going, morbid curiosity, seeing corpses hanging. Therefore, I avoided, I would walk in a different way, avoid those places, because they were usually in public squares. On the 10th of...
Could you tell me about the curfew?
The curfew. You were not allowed to go after dark, which was then 7 o'clock. You were not allowed to go out, and not before 6 o'clock in the morning, depending on when it got dark. I don't remember the exact time, but after dark you were not allowed to go out, unless you had a special permission, which only applied to Germans. I think it applies to the Poles, the curfew as well.
Did you ever break the curfew?
No. No. Then what happened? Every few days, sometimes more frequently, sometimes less, there would be a knock on the door in the flat, and invariably a German soldier, and often with a German civilian who would have a small swastika in his lapel and probably was a Volksdeutsch, would knock on the door, and they would simply come to rob, to take something. They would take the wedding ring from my mother's finger. They would insist, and they would look into the cupboards and take away whatever they wanted.
Was there any attempt to resist this form of robbery?
No, because you knew they would shoot you. You were pleased that they didn't come and simply shoot you. It was simply that a soldier or an officer would team up with a local German who knew this is an area where the rich Jews are living. Let's go and rob something. And they would go in and take linen and take your whatever they fancied, a picture, usually small objects. Sometimes my mother's German was very good, and my mother was very frightened then, and usually if they took something away, they would walk away and they never shot or did anything, but there was the implied danger that they could stab you or shoot you.
Did people try and, or did your family try and hide anything that was particularly precious to you?
Yes. Into the winter coats, you put the jewelry, the small jewelry, you put into the collars and into the lining of the the diamonds and so on, you put into your coat. Some people went further than that. They would put into the soles of the shoes. they would hide some diamonds or some rings in it. But then you had to have a shoemaker in order to do that. But sewing it into a winter coat was quite a common thing.
Had by this time everybody, particularly the Jews, been forbidden to work or to go to school? Had this already happened?
I went to school twice or three times, and the teachers were only teaching us German, and in the play fields of the school, German soldiers were training in our playground, and they were occupying sort of three quarters of the school, which was a large building, ideal for military purposes. But we were in a few classrooms. More or less at that time, a notice came that all the stock, all the textile warehouses that belong to the Jews will be confiscated in a couple of days. And I remember my father asked me to go to the street corner and order a hansom cab, a droska. You know, the old-fashioned horse-driven, you know, hansom cab type of things. There were taxis in Lodz as well, but it was easier to find that kind of transport. And the driver took us to Piotrkowska Street, Adolf Hitler Strasse, from the back, where there was a large warehouse. And my father was the chief accountant in there. The two owners of the business, who were Jewish, the firm was called Canelli's Bar, they escaped to Warsaw. And I didn't realize before the war, but I only found out then, that my father had a large stock of textiles in that firm. And two of the Polish employees were trying to convince my father to sign some papers proving that the business was sold to them before the war, and therefore it was no longer a Jewish business, but it was belonged to Poles. And my father wouldn't sign it. And there was the discussion went on for 2 hours or longer, and they were trying to convince, look, the war will soon be over, and I will sign we'll sign another piece of paper that it was just for convenience, otherwise all the stock will be confiscated. And there was a heated discussion, but my father wouldn't sign it.
He didn't trust them.
No, it wasn't a matter of trust. It was dangerous to do. It was very dangerous. And I think my father was more afraid of doing it. But then I realized how much stock he had there, and he says, let's take a few things home. And we took a few pieces of material onto the droska and took it home. As it happened, a few days later, there was a knock on the door. Two Germans came in and took the material, you know, just took it away.
Did they know it was there?
No, they just came looking through our cupboards, which was almost a daily occurrence, and it was the sort of thing that they fancied.
When the Germans came each day to take belongings from you?
Not each day, but maybe
fairly
twice
regular.
A week, fairly regularly.
Did you have any kind of a routine? I mean, would your mother answer the door to them? Would you all?
My mother would answer the door. It was, she felt she, her German was good, and I would sort of stand not far away, and they would sort of say, we are making a search or something like that. I didn't understand exactly. And they would go in, and every cupboard was opened, and they would sort of take a few things and walk out.
Where would your father be and your elder brother? Would they keep out of the way?
Yes. I think one felt, well, at least my mother felt, that it was safer for an elderly woman. My mother was by then about 50 years old. And she looked probably a bit older.
Did people just stay put in Lodz, or did they?
By the end of 1939, quite a number of Jewish people had left Lodz because the name was changed to Litzmannstadt and it became a part of the Third Reich. And they felt that it would be safer to go to the part of Poland that still had, that was not annexed to Germany. So many Jews who were quite well off escaped, and some of my father's friends. Some were arrested. At that time, Rumkowski, who later became the head of the Lodz ghetto, he was arrested. Together with 10 or thereabout leading Jewish industrialists, whom he appointed as his advisors. And they were, when my father heard that Gershovsky, who was one of his friends for whom he worked, was arrested, he decided that maybe we should also leave Lodz and go to Warsaw. By then, it was already January 1940, because rumors were rife that all the Jews will have to leave Lodz.
To go where?
To be sent to east. And at first my brother, many Jewish, younger Jewish people were running towards Russia, and they were crossing the border. It was dangerous. Some got shot, but some managed to cross the river and got into Russia. So it was a chance. And my brother was going to go with a group, but he changed his mind in the last minute. My mother didn't want to persuade him one way or another, because one didn't know what was the best thing to do. But later, when my father wanted to take me and go in the direction of Warsaw, somewhere east, my mother said, no, it's better if my older brother goes with him, because I was too young.